Six teenagers are facing felony charges connected to the bullying and eventual suicide of Phoebe Prince. She's a 15-year-old girl who was repeatedly bullied in her Massachusetts high school. Phoebe killed herself on January 14th of this year, the same day that she was reportedly taunted and harassed by three of the accused on her way home. Each of the teenagers could face prison sentences of up to 10 years if found guilty in this case. But Emily Bazelon says there's more to the case than it appears, and it's not as simple as blaming bullying teenagers for a girl's death. She's been investigating this tragic case since February and says that her research uncovered a more complicated reality about the victim and her accusers than we once thought. Emily Bazelon is senior editor at Slate.com, where she recently wrote a three-part series called What Really Happened to Phoebe Prince. Emily, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Well, catch us up to speed on what we know about the case, on the case of Phoebe Prince, and what's happening in the run-up to the trial here.
Well, you know, this is still a really sad story. It's just a different sad story, a more complicated one than we thought. And I think the new information we have is important because these kids who are charged in connection with Phoebe's bullying are really being blamed for her death. That's the most serious charge they're facing. And so the reason that I wrote the piece was to kind of explain the context for the conflicts that were going on at school that involved Phoebe. And I think some of the missing pieces are that Phoebe had a complicated mental health history. And I say that not to blame her in any way for what happened to her, but just to say that the kids who were involved, what they were doing from their point of view wasn't so, it was normal girl drama.
Well, we're gonna,
the kids put it to me.
Emily, we're going
to
get to all that, but you talked about the blame here, setting the context for this case. Everybody is blaming the kids who allegedly bullied. Let me play you some tape from Elizabeth Scheibel. She's the DA who's prosecuting this case.
The investigation revealed relentless activity directed toward Phoebe, designed to humiliate her and to make it impossible for her to remain at school. The bullying for her became intolerable.
Now, you're saying it may be true that the bullying became intolerable, but whether or not bullying equals suicide is a more complicated story.
Yes, exactly. So on the last day of Phoebe's life, there's no question that there was really bad bullying going on at that school. It involved three kids, not six. There were three kids who called her very cruel names during the day at school, and then one kid on her way home from school, yelled a name at her and also threw an empty drink can at her. So no question that that happened. I think everyone can agree. The question is, are those factors can we say that they caused her suicide in a way that it is fair to criminally prosecute the kids who did them and have them face these serious prison charges?
Now, you write, what if there is no pack of untouchable mean girls ruling the halls of South Hadley High, as the Boston Globe column kicked off the national coverage said? And you also suggest that Phoebe herself may have been complicit in the bullying. How could she have been complicit in such horrible treatment?
I don't mean that she was complicit in the bullying. What I meant was that she got involved with two boys who had girlfriends at South Hadley High School, and that's not something to blame her for. It's a totally normal adolescent girl thing to do, but it made those girls upset. And one of the boys eventually turned on her as well. And from the point of view of the kids at the school, this wasn't a situation in which there was one girl who, for most of the fall, Phoebe was popular at school. There were other boys who were interested in her. She had other friends. She didn't seem like a weak kid who, was merely a victim and being targeted. There really wasn't any targeting going on until, at least about a week and a half before her death, at least publicly, according to the documents that I have.
So clearly, Emily, though, you're wading into some dangerous territory here. A girl is dead. We want someone to blame. There is someone to blame. The prosecutors believe there's someone to blame. And you're saying, hang on a second, that's getting a little murky.
Right. Yes, you're right. I think this is tricky territory. But when you look at a lot of evidence and you see that, there are six kids facing charges, three of them, no one is accusing them of going anywhere near Phoebe in the week before her death.
But charges nonetheless.
Yes, they're facing this. Two of those kids are facing the same very serious criminal charges as the other three kids who did, in fact, bully her on the last day. And that just really makes me question if we've gone too far in this case. I'm not making an argument about innocence versus guilt. I'm making an argument about proportional punishment.
Well, maybe, Emily, what you're really making an argument for is that this is being prosecuted in the wrong arena. I mean, I've read the descriptions of the teasing and the bullying that went on, and it was egregious. So maybe the problem here is not that that we're not saying that there's not a problem with bullying, but that the place to take care of that is not through the law enforcement channels.
Exactly. And in this case, I think there was a lot of uncertainty about what the school was doing to discipline these kids and whether they had taken effective action. Part of that was because of confidentiality laws that made it impossible for them to be specific in their point of view, but they did not do a good job of explaining all of that. And so I think there was this sense of a lack of confidence by some people in the community that left a kind of vacuum that the prosecutor walked into.
What are you hearing from Phoebe's family about your story or about a different take on the case?
I tried very hard to talk to Phoebe's parents, and I have not talked to them directly. And I feel terrible for them. I mean, they have endured an awful tragedy that nobody should have to go to. And I really struggled with this new material I had and publishing it because I knew that it would probably hurt them. In normal circumstances, this kind of discussion after a suicide is not one that you would necessarily want to have. But there are six other kids whose futures are on the line here, and they have already been thrown out of school. They, I imagine, I haven't talked to any of them, but I imagine they don't know where they're going to school, go to school next. And they've also become, national symbols of teenage evil in a way that's going to make it hard for them to live the rest of their lives. And so in that circumstance, given these charges that they're facing, I think it's important for the whole story, the more complicated story, to be told.
So the story clearly isn't as simple as it may have originally appeared. There's a takeaway here that bullying is complicated and A doesn't necessarily equal B. Emily, let me ask you before you go. It seems like reaction to bullying is really popular right now, and I don't mean to be glib about it, but do you see parallels between this case? There was a case in St. Louis where a mom was faced recriminations after a girl committed suicide, and there was a Facebook link, and that was a bullying case. Are there parallels here, or are they completely different?
You're talking about the Meghan Meyer suicide.
Yes.
I mean, that mother's behavior seems to me, she was an adult behaving incredibly badly, and that seems to me to be different than teenagers. We know that teenagers are not fully developed neurologically. There are many other ways in which, in the law, we go easier on them. Because of that, we don't treat them like adults. And yet, in this case, it is only the teenagers who are facing penalties from what happened to Phoebe. No, not a single adult in the community has been penalized in any way.
Right. And as we said, and as we've been saying all morning, this is a case of things possibly being much more complicated than they seem. Well, Emily Bazelon from Slate.com, we appreciate you shedding some light on the complications and breaking through some of the simplicity with us. Thanks for coming back with us on The Takeaway. You can read Emily's story on Slate. It's called What Really Happened to Phoebe Prince. This is a case out of Massachusetts that goes to trial with six teenagers in just a couple of weeks or just a couple of days.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.